Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
You there? Hello?
Hello?
Black, you there?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know what? I had my phone on mute for half an hour. Unbelievable. Oh, God. I should shoot myself. I've been talking off for an hour, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't hear you, and then I'm looking at my phone and said, oh, I had it on mute. Son of a bitch.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
Whatever. How you doing, my man? I know you were at the Dusty Harrison fight, and I'm going to get, I want to get your perspective on that.
Great night of boxing. Great night of boxing. We had two local boxers. First out, let me show my respect for Lamont Peterson. Had a tough fight last night in Atlanta City against Luther Matthias.
Right.
Top of the third round, TKO. Just a tough break for Peterson, but he's a hometown guy. He'll be back. I'm hearing they try to make a match with him and Zab Judah coming up. So we'll see how much truth that is. But at the fight I was at, the champion class at the UDC, great night of boxing, great night of local talent on the card. Unfortunately, I got to also give a shout-out to our guy, Mike Reed, who took the time to come out on the show Thursday night.
Right.
Found out that his fight was scratched at the last minute. So
yeah, I saw that on the I looked at an article about Dusty on the Washington Post online, and it told me it said that the that fight was scratched at the last minute because the fighter got sick.
Yeah, and you can just see the disappointment in Mike's face last night. I told him keep his head up. You know, he'll be on the fight card June 15th at the convention center, so we'll get a chance to talk to him there. But this is a great night overall for the local fighters. Patrick Coy picked up his first professional debut with a knockout. There was a fight also from California, the heavyweight, who also got a knockout early. Natu Vitinha from Lakewood, California, knocked out DC's Phil Brown. But Dusty was the headliner, and Dusty was very impressive last night. Caught Soto in the second round with a strong right that floored him. And then as the fight wore on, the third round and the fourth round, Dusty continued with the combinations. You could tell that he had too much speed for Soto, but Soto was still game, you know, doing little face talks in there. But Harrison was able to catch him in the fifth. TKO'd him.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I read that. And before I go any further, for those callers who have been listening since the beginning of the show up until now, I want to apologize. I had technical difficulties, and you probably didn't hear anything but dead air. I really want to apologize for that. That won't happen again, I promise you. But we're live now. We're listening, and quite naturally, we listened to my co-host on Thursday, who was who's good enough to come on here on Sunday to give me a recap of our friend to the to FSP is Dusty Hernandez Harrison, who had his fight in the DC area at the UDC College, who was the headliner, and what Black was telling you that he got a TKO in the fifth round from Eddie Soto, and he remains undefeated. I think he's, 15-0 right now, Black?
Yeah, 15-0 right now. I got a chance to speak with Dusty after the fight. That story should be up on Afro.com and Examiner.com. Got a little tidbit in there, so I don't want to give it away on the show, but when that stories come out, make sure you go and look for that, because I was checking all the online stories, and I didn't see any of the guys print that. So I must have been the one only with this question to him, but he has a local riff going with the famous boxer we know. So we'll link that out later on today.
Afro, what's it? Afro what?
The Afro.com, also the Examiner.com, which also just picked me up. I don't know if that story will be in there today, though, either. I'm not sure. But definitely the Afro.com sometime today.
Okay. All right. I'll be looking forward to that show, and that question and the answer is going to be in that article. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What else did you gather from last night's match? Anything else?
That DC deserves more fights. You couldn't have asked for a better crowd last night. We had a good crowd with Peterson fought over at the convention center. This was just at UDC, but this was also sold out. a wonderful, wonderful venue. The Jordan Brand symbol was clearly in the ring. For those that couldn't make it, the fight was streamed live at GoFightLive.com, so you probably saw me ringside on there a few times, but DC definitely can hold these fights.
Okay. What was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you something here. Oh, did you ever find out what happened to him and his no-show at the on Thursday?
Oh, they were swamped with so many interviews that they couldn't keep up.
Okay.
They couldn't
no
keep
problem.
Up. So they actually lost track of them supposed to be on the show. Like I told you, Fred contacted me that early that morning, like at 6 in the morning the very next day, to apologize for them not showing up, which is understandable. They were doing so
right.
much press leading
right.
up to it, so it's definitely understandable. But yeah,
okay.
We have Fred as well, so.
Okay. Maybe we can catch him in a near future sometime to come on, not before a fight, just to come on and to talk about whatever. So
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
He has his hands in so many things, so that won't be a problem.
Okay. Hey, I was talking about how all these shows came to fruition and how you came to be on one of the shows and making cameo appearances in other shows. I'm not going to go through all that. I went through all that in the first half hour, approximately, and I was
basically
talking.
Did you go through all that the first half hour, or did you go through that in the first half hour?
Well, I went through it the first half hour, and it's all freaking dead air because I realized once I wasn't talking to you, I looked at my phone, and for some reason it was on freaking mute. So that's how I said, you know what, I had a good night's sleep. I should be pretty awake and alert, and I couldn't believe I did that. But it is what it is. I can't take it back now. I'm here for the next half hour. I want to talk about this, man. There's several things I need to talk about. We got this Dusty Hernandez thing fight I wanted to talk about first. I'm glad you called because you can give me your perspective on this. We'll go to the football side of it, and then we'll probably end the rest of the program through the basketball. I don't know if you noticed or not, but Bruce Irvin of the Seattle Seahawks is the sixth player to test positive for performance-enhancing drugs from the Seahawks since 2011. All right? Quite naturally, you know that Brandon Browner, Winston Guy, John Moffitt, Alan Barbaray, and Richard Sherman. Even the Richard Sherman suspension was overturned on appeal. But they all were tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. In my opinion, and in the article that I'm reading, it's a troubling trend that all these players from one team is getting whacked and getting caught with PED. And for three of them that I know of, Browner, Sherman, and now Bruce Irvin, it's all for Adderall. I'm not sure about the other three guys, but I know that Irvin got the pop for Adderall just like Sherman and Browner did, even though those two guys supposedly, especially Richard Sherman, had a prescription for it, even though it was still banned. Bruce Irvin admitted he didn't have one and is not going to appeal his suspension and just take his, I think, four games and deal with it after that. Your thoughts on what I just said, man?
The Adderall, is that what is that used for? Isn't that for attention? To keep the
yes.
attention in check?
Yes.
That's a tough blow to deal with because, you know, some guys have mental issues where they need that type of stuff to stay focused. So I'm not sure on this one. This is a slippery slope here with the Adderall.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, hey, oh, what can I say? I mean, I don't know if it's the team doctor. I don't know if it's something that is accepted in the Seattle Seahawks locker room and along with the coaching staff, and I'm not accusing anybody, but you have six guys in the last two to three years getting popped for PEDs, and three of the six guys that I know of are for the same drug, Adderall. Something's going on there. I can best believe that the NFL is either going to look at it or has looked at it to find out what the hell's going on, because there's too many guys getting popped for the same thing in a short amount of time. That there's got to be something that sends a red flag to someone.
It must serve another purpose other than what we say it's used for, apparently.
Well, let me hold on a minute. Let me bring this up and Adderall. Hold on, let me see. Adderall. Let me see. Adderall is used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Uses a combination of amphetamine and dextroamphetamine in order to control the symptoms. Let me see the side effects. Side effects are lack of appetite, headache, inability to fall asleep, dry mouth, abdominal pain and discomfort, weight loss, and restlessness. And also, I would have to think, because it's got an amphetamine in it, so it gives you that burst if you're feeling tired. Or even if you're not feeling tired, it gives you a little bit more increase in stamina, not stamina, but increase in your how can I say it? Increase in your let me put it this way: it jacks you up. Let me put it that way. I would think, being that it has amphetamines in it, that's probably the reason why. Even though it's treatment for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is banned because it's a stimulant, and it'll give you supposedly an added edge. That's why it's they consider it a PED. But the hazardous side effects of this thing is it increases your blood pressure, gives you irregular heart rate. Gives you chest pains, difficulty breathing, migraine headaches, can give you blurry or double vision. Can give you seizure activity and excessive and uncontrollable shaking.
Oh, man, I don't want any of that.
Extreme nervousness and paranoid delusions, mood swings that include hostility and severe aggression, and also... depending, I guess, how much you take it and how often you take it, depression. So, you have to think that if these guys are getting taking it and they don't have a prescription for it, that they're taking it because it's a drug that can give you an added edge, stimulates the body to a higher rate and
increases that alertness.
Yeah. So, wow, that's Adderall in a small nutshell from what I'm seeing on the web here. So, like I said, it's an awful suspicious that all these players from this one team are getting popped, and most of them, for 50% of them that I know of, and probably more than likely these other two or three guys were getting popped for the same thing, Adderall. And supposedly Adderall is a, I wouldn't say a popular drug, but it's a popular, semi-popular drug throughout the NFL, from what I understand. But it's a banned drug for the simple fact that all of its effects, whether it be negative or positive, the NFL has banned it, and we'll see what happens and see if any more of these players from Seattle. I mean, that's the reason why they played so well. Adderall.
Seattle is also the sexy pick for the Super Bowl, so we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I know you're a betting man, but I don't know if you're a horse betting man like I am. Yesterday in the Baltimore area was the 138th running of the Preakness Stakes out at the Pimlico Racetrack, the race course, I should say, with the heavy favorite, and I said on yesterday's show that I didn't like the favorite, Orb as the heavy favorite. I had said on yesterday's show that I like It's My Lucky Day. Unfortunately, and it happened to me, I think this is the third running of the last 3 years that I've said it on air on Saturday, who I liked. And all three of those times that I've said it, all three of those times the horse finished the same place, second. Second's only good in horseshoes. So, but I was surprised.
Never,
let me put it this
never,
way.
Ever lay the favorite. That's always
no.
my motto for horse racing. Never lay
mm-hmm.
the favorite.
Right. Now, the horse that won, Oxbow, was jockeyed by Gary Stevens, who came out of a 7-year retirement, 50 years old, came out of a 7-year retirement in January. He jumped on his horse, coming out of the gate. He went to the front, and it was unbelievable what he did here. It's unbelievable what he did for the simple fact is he jumped to the front, and he set moderate fractions. And for the most part, no one challenged him. So he jumped out to I forget what it was. He jumped out to a pretty quick quarter mile, which is like 23 and 4, which is pretty quick for a mile 3/16 race. At the half mile, he was at 48 and 3, which is about which he slowed the race down, but no one decided to come with him. And now, if anybody who's in horse racing and knows Pimlico Racetrack is a speed track, and for the most part, if you're a type of horse that comes from the back and closes, meaning picks up the leader from the back rather than race with the leader, you'll have a more difficult chance because the fact is that the front-running horses have a better chance of sustaining that and staying in front or very close to the front come the top of the stretch before they get to the finish line. So he nursed it along at a half mile at 48 and 3, which is he slowed it down. It was a 23 and 4, and then he slowed it down the next 20 something seconds. It was a 25, almost 25 seconds. The next quarter, so he slowed the race down, and no one came to him. So when he got to the 6 furlongs race, which is a normal sprint race for most horses, it's a mile and 13 and 1, which is a slow pace also, but no one came to him. So going down the top of the stretch, all these horses that thought, well, this horse is going to back up and we can pass him as he backs up, were sadly mistaken. Now, these are professional jockeys that most of them have been racing on this track today or have raced on in Pimlico for years and knows Pimlico is a speed track that it's very hard to close on the lead horse on a speed track like Pimlico with very tight turns going around the track. And this is a quote that from Gary Stevens. They gave me a free three-quarters of a mile today. With a mile and a half to go, I was thinking, are you kidding me? And that's exactly what I was saying when I'm watching this race. The race was over. I just walked the dog. And basically, when he hit the top of the stretch, no one was coming to him, and he didn't jog down, but he kept urging the horse, but not vigorously like a lot of jockeys do. And he won very, in my opinion, very easily and with these other horses, including my horse, trying to catch him. Now,
so you're saying this was an unusual occurrence here at Pimlico this weekend?
It was an unusual occurrence because the fact is this. My horse and his other horses that like to run toward the front, just like Oxbow, who won the race. For some reason, those horses decided to let Oxbow go all by himself. This is the horse that Gary Stevens was on. And I guess they thought that Oxbow would back up or tire, and they would be able to go past him after he tires. It's very, like I said, it's very hard. In some tracks, regardless of the caliber of a horse, if you go to the front, and this is one of these tracks, if you go to the front and you have sustainable speed and no one challenges you,
there's no passing you from behind.
Exactly. There's no passing you from behind, and this is exactly what happened. And I was, to say the least, I was a little upset, especially with the horse, my horse, it's My Lucky Day, who came in second, who is the same type of horse as Oxbow, who runs near the lead, and he didn't decide to challenge Oxbow whatsoever. Especially when he goes out to a first quarter quickly, and then he slows the pace down. Now, if you slow the pace down, you should be able to come up and challenge this horse rather than just stay back there and wait for this horse to tire. You don't do that.
Wow.
You do that, and you're going to screw up the race. And if you watch the race, and I watched it several times. I watched it just again this morning, that it's unbelievable that they gave this guy, Gary Stevens, who is a Hall of Fame jockey, and there's other jockeys that have names in this race that raced at Pimlico before and raced in big races like this before, and it should know this track because they were racing up leading up to this race.
Let me ask you something. Did Ken DeSormo race in this race?
I don't think I don't think Kent DeSormo was in it, because if he was, I can almost guarantee you he would have challenged Gary Stevens. Let me look and see. Let me look. Come on. Let me look. Look here. Pimlico. I do believe he was not in the race.
Oh, okay. I always got to check on my guy, man. That's surprising. If they ran that track for a while and they know the track's conditions, do you think that some of the horses weren't fit enough to even go for the chase? No.
These horses were in good shape. Otherwise, the trainers wouldn't put them there. And the horses, you know, horses don't change their colors. Let me put it that way. Especially in these big races, if a horse is the type of horse that when you come out the gate, he goes to the front, you're not going to pull that horse back. You're not going to hold him back and then try to close on a front running horse. The horse only knows the way to one way to race. You can't change up his style of racing from one race to the next. For most part, horse is a creature of habit.
Which horse did Bob Baffert have in the race?
Bob Baffert had he didn't have a name horse in the race. Really, a name horse, a horse that really had a real good shot. The name of his horse was Governor Charlie, which is not a real good big name horse. His big name horses raced in the Kentucky Derby, and he decided not to race him in this race. But I mean, you had a couple of big time jockeys in here, and I'm surprised because the jockey is one of my favorite jockeys to race, especially in big races. He was on a nine horse. He's a very extremely good jockey, and I think he misjudged the way to run this race. I'm talking about John Velasquez. I really believe.
Oh, Velasquez was raised with his weapon?
John Velasquez was on the nine horses. It's my lucky day, and I could not believe he did what he did.
Man.
And he let this horse Oxbow just run free. Just like Gary Stevens was saying, he couldn't believe they were just letting him go.
That's my other guy, Velasquez. Those are my two money makers, DeZormo and Velasquez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I couldn't believe, like I said, couldn't believe they just let him run out on the front all by himself with no challenge. I'm telling you, when I saw it was no challenge, I'm saying you got to be kidding me here. And I knew from the top of the stretch that he wasn't going to get caught, and he didn't. He won by a couple of lengths, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a great ride from a Hall of Fame jockey that took a shot, went out there, and no one decided to go with him. Because I do believe if someone went with him and challenged him, that he wouldn't have won the race. Because he ran the race his own way. You know what I'm saying? He ran out there quick, and he established the pace. So the pace was comfortable to him. So if somebody made him uncomfortable on the pace, I don't think he would have won the race. But and like I said, horses are creatures of habit. And some horses have more heart than others. And some horses, when they get next to another horse and look at him eye to eye, some horses go right past them. Some horses dig in and try not to let that horse win. And some horses shy away from another horse, look at him into the face, and that's when you see horses starting to back up. But he never got challenged. He never had another horse look at him eye to eye next to each other. So he was running like he was running in a freaking workout on a 5 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. So it was pretty non-eventful in my opinion. It wasn't something that, I mean, to watch the race and you're waiting to see somebody challenge the Oxbow, and you're looking, okay, you're going to challenge him. Oh, shit, he won the race. So it's one of those things. I mean, yeah, because nobody, I mean, you're watching the race and you're waiting for somebody to come up to this horse, and no one comes up to the horse. No one.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. I hate to go on and on and on, but I was sitting there with a friend of mine. We went there at the local track for the simulcasting, and I'm talking to him like, I can't believe, while the race is going, I can't believe nobody's coming up to this horse. I can't believe nobody's coming up to this horse. And he's telling me, wait. I can't believe nobody's coming up to this horse. And at the top of the stretch, I'm saying, he's home. Nobody's catching this horse. And bigger than that, just as soon as I said it, he started pulling away a little bit more, and that was it. My friend looked at me and said, I can't believe it either. So it was like, you got to be kidding me. So I just shook my head and like, oh, well, I mean, what are you going to do? It is what it is. All right. Let's move on. I got that. I've vented enough. Let's move on to my other event.
I have another event.
I had a rough weekend, man. I got second in the Preakness, and I got a ticket to go home to and go on vacation with my basketball team.
Now,
we're talking about the Indianapolis Pacers against the New York Knicks. New York Knicks down 3-2 to Indiana. This is a closeout game in Indiana. Like I said, I think it was on Thursday's or yesterday's show, the Knicks don't play well in Indiana. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, but I don't think so, they haven't won in Indiana this year. Indiana hasn't lost a game in the playoffs this year. So those two things, plus the fact that the Knicks weren't playing that well, comes to the conclusion, like I said yesterday, that I didn't think the Knicks on Vic's show would win. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I was hoping they could somehow pull it off. They were down for the most part in this game, early part of the fourth quarter. They took the lead with 2 minutes left in the game. They decided to go into knucklehead mode, meaning J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony, who didn't have a very good fourth quarter. I think he only scored 4 points. He had a total of 37 points in the game, but he only scored 4 points in the last quarter. And I think he had at least 2 to 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Did it end up going to be one-on-one hero ball, as it usually breaks down to?
It didn't come to that. It was just the fact is, I think that, to tell you the truth, I think all the energy the Knicks expounded to leading up to the game, they ran out of gas. And as you get more and more exhausted, your thought processes slow down. You start doing some dumb shit, excuse my language, but that's exactly what they did. Started doing some dumb things. Dumb turnovers, throwing a ball to no one but the Indiana Pacers, let me see. Carmelo Anthony had 3 turnovers. I know he had at least 2 in the fourth quarter. I know he had 39 points, and I think he had. They don't break it down, but he had, I think it was 4 or 5 points, or 6, maybe 6 at the most, in the fourth quarter. He didn't have a good fourth quarter at all. J.R. Smith had a technical foul near the end, like about 2 minutes left in the game. He had a technical foul, which was not a good time to have one, quite naturally. And he was getting beat backdoor. On back-to-back plays, and one thing I give it to this guy. I think he's a rookie, if I'm not mistaken. Lance Stevenson he was killing him.
Lance Stevenson is like a second or third year guy, actually.
Yeah, well, Lance Stevenson. He had 25 points. He let me put it this way. He himself, if you watched him, he looked like a mini LeBron. Guys were bouncing off him because he's got a running back's body, especially upper body. Guys were bouncing off of him, and he was playing like he was LeBron, especially in the second half. They didn't have an answer for Lance Stevenson. 25 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. This guy was all world yesterday, and the Knicks didn't have an answer for him. And David West, Paul George, Roy Hibbert, and George Hill, and the coach has to kiss this guy because he helped them win that game. Without Lance Stevenson, the Knicks win that game. With Lance Stevenson, they win it by 7 points, 106 to 99. I know you didn't watch it because you were watching. You were watching boxing. I just want to give you a recap on this. This is a tough loss, a very tough loss. The role players, especially Tyson Chandler, 2 points. Raymond Felton, 2 points. Iman Shumpert was the second leading scorer. J.R. Smith had 15 points. Iman Shumpert had 19. Iman Shumpert fouled out of the game. I think 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, he fouled out. And then Tyson Chandler also fouled out not too long after Shumpert fouled out. And that left Kenyon Martin on Roy Hibbert, but it really didn't make a difference because Lance Stevenson was the story yesterday. He was definitely the story. I'm watching the game and shaking my head because no one No one could stop him. No one could stop him. No matter who they put on him, I'm telling you, guys were bouncing off of him because you could see the look on his face. And this is the type of face you wanted to see, Black. This guy looked like he was ready to fight somebody on the court. But, I mean, he had that look on his face, so he was that focused on helping his team to win. At times, they had to calm this guy down, go over and talk to him, whisper something in his ear, like, calm down, because this guy was so jacked up. And I could understand it because he had the best game of his career last night. Best game of his career.
That's crazy that the Nation went out like that. That's wild.
I don't know if it's down where you're at, but usually it's either on NBA TV or some other station that they run a replay of the games. You may be able to catch a replay of this game somewhere.
I might have to try to check the replay out for that. Definitely missed that while being at the fight.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we come to the end of our show, half a show. Oh, God. I appreciate you for calling in, my man. Is there anything that you want to close the show out with before we leave here?
Oh, no, just that you got to remember, when you start a show, hit the unmute button.
This is what happened. I'll explain to you what happened. What happened was I was talking to my wife, and I put my phone on mute because every minute the recording comes on and tells me how long you have to go, and it was interrupting my conversation. So I put it on mute and didn't think about it when the show started to take it off freaking mute.
Oh,
unbelievable. Until you called. Otherwise, I would have had a full hour of nothing.
Oh,
so I really appreciate you calling in. And I apologize again.
I said no problem. No problem.
And I apologize to any of the callers that listened for the first half hour and says, where the hell is he? I really apologize to it. And it's, you know what?
It's one of those weekends. That's
it's one of those weekends, and I have to apologize. Tune in next week to all the shows that I told you about, the FSP Cruise show, which will be 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, FSP show, which is 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. The timeout with Sylvia Crawley. She's going to have a guest, Marion Jones, tomorrow, 7 p.m. Tune in to listen to that. The Passion Dakini, I think she's still on a 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday. So you got Marion Jones with Sylvia Crawley, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Monday. Compassion Dakini, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday. And all the other shows I mentioned. Tune in next week at this time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Master Plan, I appreciate you for listening. And I always either start or end the show with an old school song. This is a song by Soul to Soul way back in the day. And like I said, like I always say this before I leave this, and this is real life here, people, because in real life I'm muted and you're listening to dead freaking air. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future, so be careful how you treat people. Do unto others as others would do unto you. Peace and blessings. Like Mikal says, I'm out.